Open up your Bibles to the book of Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15. You might also turn to Luke chapter 4. And these are places that we were last week. We've been in Hebrews 4 quite a bit over the past few weeks as we have talked about the person of Christ and His humanity. So far we've talked about His virgin birth, about His human traits, about His sinlessness. He was without sin. And today we're going to address the question of whether or not He could have sinned. And I think this is an important thing for us to consider, even though it is a very difficult thing for us to consider. I think sometimes people think that most of the doctrines that we have from God's Word are real simple, you know, pretty simple. Everybody ought to know them. But, you know, if you get to thinking that about these great truths from the Bible, you might want to back up a little bit because they're not necessarily that simple. And they certainly should require our full attention and should require us to spend time searching them out. They are worthy of that attention, and it is a good thing for us to do. It helps us to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. And so, but it's not easy. And this, what we're going to do here this morning, it may be difficult to follow. So I want you to pay attention. I was going to have everyone turn and slap their neighbor just to make sure they were awake, but I figured Brother Dwight would knock Brother Neil out of his pew up there and, you know, be free, give him free hand there. But anyway, do want to be ready because this is a very complex, the answer to this is very complex. So let's read, I won't read once again, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let's pray. Our kind and most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to You at this time seeking the help and aid of Your Holy Spirit to help us as we look at this very complicated question and the answer to it. Lord, I just pray that You would direct our hearts, our minds towards the Scriptures, and that what we do believe would be what the Scriptures say, and that we would stand upon that belief and stand firm upon it. Lord, help us to grow in our knowledge here concerning this particular issue. We just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So, our message this morning, the subtitle essentially is, Could Jesus Have Sinned? And we just read that verse that says that He was tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And so what is the answer to that question? That's kind of where we left off last week. As we established last week, in fact, Jesus did not sin. We know that. Scripture tells us that. That is very clear and something we should and must absolutely stand on and believe. But when it comes to answering this question, was it possible for Jesus to have sinned? Things get a little bit more difficult. And so we must be very careful and tread carefully as we look at this particular thing. The simple answers that are thrown about when you ask that question, was it possible for Jesus to have sinned? The simple answers go like this. Some will argue that Christ was impeccable. That word impeccable means that He was unable to sin. And so the answer for them is, no, it's not possible. Jesus could not have sinned, okay? The other side of the coin would say, well, if He was unable to sin, then His temptations could not have been real. Because how could a temptation be real if the person being tempted could not sin? The answer to our question is going to kind of fall in between those two places, those two answers. And we're going to go back and forth between them as we establish what the answer to that is, okay? The answer certainly is not a simple one. Now, in every case concerning questions about doctrines and what we believe or what we don't believe, we must turn to the Scriptures to seek clarity and understanding. And we should search the Scriptures to determine exactly what it is that His Word affirms for us. I'm going to tell you, folks, there's too much doctrine out there today being put forth by people, by preachers in pulpits, advocated by churches, that has no basis in the Scriptures. And we must be careful that we don't allow any of that in. So as we have always said here, as is our practice, we want to look to the Scriptures to seek answers to these kinds of questions. Beyond that, we will, and probably you probably already know, not every answer for us is found in Scripture. Now, I've heard people say that. You know, the answer to every question you have is found in the Scriptures. Folks, let's be clear about something. There are things that God has not told us clearly. There are certain mysteries that remain mysteries for us. I believe much of that will be cleared up when we get to heaven. But understand, when we get to heaven, we're not going to know everything like God knows everything. That's an attribute of God that we will never have. We can learn and we can come to know lots of things, but we won't ever know everything as God does. And we need to understand that and accept that. But on the other hand, some people use that as an excuse. Well, I'm just not going to study it then. I'm just not going to dig deep into these difficult doctrines. I'll just let someone else tell me what to believe. Well, that's wrong. That's simply wrong. You ought to search for yourself the Scriptures. And as we go through this together here this morning, I want you thinking. I want you looking into the Scriptures. Most of all, I want you relying upon the Holy Spirit of God to help you understand these truths. What we can do when we don't find a clear answer to something is look to His Word and trust His Holy Spirit to help us to infer certain things from the Scriptures. And we do that with a lot of doctrines, not just this one, but there are others. And we'll touch on that more in a few moments. So let us look now to what God's Word has to say about this question. Was it possible for Jesus to have sinned? Let me state some truths that we do know. In fact, in the verse that we just read, the Scripture clearly affirms that Jesus never sinned. On this, we can be absolutely sure. And on this doctrine, this is a foundational doctrine for many of the other doctrines that we believe. But we know that. First, let's state clearly, we know Jesus never sinned. Second, Scripture also clearly affirms that Jesus was tempted and that these were real temptations. If you look back to Luke chapter 4, and we've been looking at Luke's his writing of the temptation of Christ. You can also look at Mark, which is much briefer. You can look at Matthew's account as well and compare. But looking back to Luke's account, Luke chapter 4, verse 2, it says, being 40 days tempted of the devil. I want you to know those were real temptations that Jesus experienced there. Okay? He really was tempted. So we know from the Scriptures that Jesus was tempted and that they were real. If we believe the Scriptures, and we do, right? I say that because there are a lot of people that are flat out saying, leaders of churches and so forth, they're flat out saying, I don't believe the Scriptures. I can't believe Scriptures that tell me that God's going to judge people because God loves everybody. That's what they say. In our Sunday school class this morning, I made mention, referred to something that I read this week where a lead singer and a Christian in their rock group, Christian rock group, but nonetheless, he says, he pointed out, he really put it out there because he felt like it needed to be said. He pointed out these people whom he referred to as celebrity influencers. That's a new phrase for me, a new term I've learned this week. But these would be people who are Christians, say they're Christians, they've pastored churches, they've written books, they are worship leaders, that kind of thing. And having a worship leader, that's a big deal in a lot of churches today. And these kind of people, so they influence a lot of people, all right, by virtue of their position. Now, I want to quickly say this. That shouldn't be the case. We shouldn't ever put our trust in a person, a human, okay, human being. Only one we should be trusting is the Lord God, all right? That's who we should look to first and foremost. A lot of people are influenced by these people, and there are some of them, more and more it seems, who are coming out and saying things like, I can't be a Christian anymore because of what Christians believe about homosexuality. That's a big issue we know in our culture today. And they're walking away from it. This guy referenced a while ago who's written a book, he's a former pastor. He's saying, I can't be a Christian anymore, and I'm going to go advocate for these groups, okay, these homosexual groups. And others are doing much the same thing, and they're walking away. They're turning their back on the Scriptures. They're turning their backs upon God. And this person that's calling them out and saying, we can't do that. We've got a standard of truth. It is the Word of God. That's what we must go by, okay? And so for us in our congregation, we know that. The Bible is our standard of truth. That's where we look, okay? Now, if we believe the Scriptures, and by the way, if you don't believe the Scriptures, then let me be clear and say, you really have no grounds of fellowship with this congregation. If you don't believe the Scriptures, you're in the wrong place. Because we do. And by God's grace and power, we will continue to. Okay? If we believe the Scriptures, then we must insist that Hebrews 4:15 is true, where it says, He was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. If your doctrine or your speculation on doctrine leads you to believe that Christ was not truly tempted, then you've gone down a wrong road theologically, and you stand in contradiction of the Scriptures. All right, so what have we said so far? One, the Scriptures tell us Christ never sinned. Two, the Scriptures tell us that Christ was tempted to sin. Third, we now must also affirm something else the Scriptures say, and that is that God cannot be tempted. We just said Christ was tempted, but the Scriptures also tell us that God cannot be tempted. Look to James chapter 1, verse 13. James 1:13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Uh-oh. You see now where things begin to get difficult. We say on one hand, Christ was tempted, but on the other hand, and this according to Scripture, on the other hand, the Bible says God cannot be tempted. How can we have both things? Well, if we hold to this truth, and we must, then the answer to our question does become much more difficult. If Jesus was fully God and fully man, and this is exactly what the Scriptures teach, then should we not also affirm that there is a sense in which Jesus could not be tempted by evil? Now, it is precisely at this point that the Scriptures go no further. It is at this point that we must use the minds God has given us to reason from the Scriptures with the help of God's Holy Spirit to infer what we are to understand in order to answer our question. Okay? Could Jesus, was it possible for Jesus to have sinned? Now, we're left here in a position, such as we are with other doctrines, where the Scriptures appear, and I emphasize, underline that word, appear, to teach things that are contradictory to one another. Another doctrinal example of this is with the Trinity. With that doctrine, we affirm that God exists in three persons, and that each of those persons is fully God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And then on the other hand, we also say, because the Scriptures say, that there is one God. Now that, on the surface, appears to be contradictory. And, just like we're looking at with our other doctrine here, the Scriptures don't go much beyond that to explain this to us. And I think a lot of times the Scriptures don't explain things to us because we don't have the mental capacity to completely understand it. Okay? It doesn't mean that we should stop trying to understand it. It just simply means there comes a point where we really can go no further. But we have well reasoned the doctrine of the Trinity of God. The same is true for this doctrine concerning Christ and whether or not he could have sinned. So these statements are not contradictory. But it can be difficult for us to understand how they work together to establish, in the case of the Trinity, that very precious doctrine. Same is true about the one that's at the center of our attention today. So let me now restate our scriptural truths, because we do not have a case of contradiction here where the Bible says in one place that Jesus was tempted and in another that he was not. Amen. Hear what I said? That's not a contradiction. Amen. And I want to try to explain why it's not. So what we do know, what we have now is this. Number one, the Bible tells us that Jesus was tempted. Okay? Two, the Bible tells us that Jesus was fully man. Three, the Bible also tells us that Jesus was fully God. And four, the Bible tells us that God cannot be tempted. Okay? Does that clear it all up for you? Okay? So how do we reconcile these things? This combination of truths means that we must strive to understand the way in which Jesus' human nature and his divine nature interacted with each other. Okay? Because that's the key to understanding this and coming to a conclusion and an answer for this question. So, this might help us to understand how, in one sense, Jesus could be tempted, and in another sense, he could not be tempted. Now, let me be clear at this point, that we must rely upon the Holy Spirit of God to help us understanding. Without the Holy Spirit of God, we wouldn't understand anything, much less these more difficult doctrines. So we must rely upon the Holy Spirit of God and God's Word, okay? Now, I want to give to you some further assertions to help us as we try to work our way through this. Number one, if Jesus' human nature had existed by itself, independent of his divine nature, then it would have been a human nature much like that which God gave to Adam and to Eve. it would have been free from sin, but nevertheless able to sin. Therefore, it is possible that, and listen how I'm wording this, it is possible that if, heavily underlined, if Jesus' human nature had existed by itself, then theoretically, Jesus could have sinned just as Adam and Eve did. But now let's move quickly to point two in this and assert quickly that Jesus' human nature has never existed apart from His divine nature. Okay? From the point of conception in Mary, the divine nature and the human nature of Jesus existed together in one body. In the growing fetus, into a child that is born, that grows into an adult, always together. So, therefore, his human nature was never independent of his divine nature. Okay, and that's very important for us to understand. Third, well, let me restate in the second point. He existed as fully God and fully man with both natures united in one person. Third, although there were some things that Jesus experienced in his human nature that he did not experience in his divine nature, such as being hungry, being thirsty, being tired, Jesus experienced those things in his human nature. His divine nature never experienced those things because God cannot be tired. God cannot be hungry, okay? Jesus, in his human nature, was those things. So there are things that are kind of independent of one another, okay? But when it comes to sin, that would have involved his whole person and thus both natures, okay? Number four, if Jesus as a person had sinned, we're what-ifing here. We know, we've already stated many times over, he did not sin. Amen. But if Jesus had sinned and involved both natures, then that means that God himself would have sinned. He would thus cease to be God. And this is clearly impossible, especially when you consider God's attribute of infinite holiness. God is infinitely holy. He is infinitely pure. We talked about this briefly this morning in the Sunday school lesson over there. He is infinitely pure and without sin. Infinitely. That means forever. Never could he, if he ever sinned, he would not be God. He is God. He has never sinned. Fifth, therefore, if we are asking if it was possible for Jesus to sin, we must conclude that it was impossible for him to sin because of the union of his human nature and his divine nature in one person. And that prevented sin from happening. Okay? But we're still left with this question then. If Jesus could not have sinned, then how could his temptations be real? To answer this, I want us to go back to again to Luke chapter 4. And I want us to look at the first temptation that Satan assaults Jesus with. And what was that? He knew Jesus was very hungry. He had been fasting for many days. And what does Satan do? He points to a stone. He says, turn that stone into bread. If you're God, turn that stone into bread. Okay? And that was the first temptation in the wilderness that Jesus experienced. Now, this we know. Jesus had the power in his divine nature to perform that miracle. He easily could have turned that stone into bread. That would be nothing. No, that would not tax his powers whatsoever. He had that power as God. So that's never in question. What is in question is, should he do so? And the answer to that, we need to understand this. God had sent him, the Father had sent him, into the wilderness to fast and not eat. And that's what he was commanded. Don't eat, and you're going to be tempted. For Jesus to have taken care of his hunger on his own without being told to do so by the Father would have been a sin. So that's the temptation he's faced with here. Jesus, so he had the power in his divine nature to perform the miracle. But in doing so, he would not have been obeying the Father in the strength of his human nature alone. This means that he would have failed the same test that Adam failed. And he would not have earned our salvation for us. Is your salvation earned? Be careful how you answer that question. You do not earn your own salvation. But let me absolutely tell you, Jesus has earned it for you. Through his work, through his death on a cross, he has earned your salvation for you. If he had turned that stone into bread, he would have sinned, and thus he would not have earned for us our salvation. Therefore, I believe that Jesus resisted this temptation in the strength of his human nature alone. I want you to try to understand what I'm saying here. He had to have. He had to, in his human nature, be tempted and resist that temptation and be sinless in order to be Savior. Okay? So I believe that what Jesus did was stand in his human nature against Satan and say, and respond and say, no, I'm not going to do that. Amen. And we'll look at his response more clearly in a moment. Now, he was not truly alone in the sense that he exercised, and this is very important too, he exercised the kind of faith that every one of us should demonstrate in that he was perfectly depending on the Father and the Holy Spirit at every moment. You see, it's that faith that Christ gives to us so that we can believe that he has saved us. It's not our own faith, it's the faith of Christ, as the Scriptures clearly point out to us. This is where that faith, if you will, is earned itself, okay? He demonstrates his faith in the Father and the Holy Spirit. He trusts in them. He depends upon them. He knows, for instance, here, God has told him not to eat. His human body tells him it is starving, I've got to eat. But he knows God has told him not to eat. Therefore, that must be what is best for him and his human body. So he chose to obey the Father and not eat at that moment. You see what I'm saying? That is a demonstration of faith, a pure demonstration of faith that none of us could ever come up with on our own. Because our human nature is flawed, it is bent towards sin. It always, our human nature always wants to seek its own. In this case, Jesus did not seek his own. He obeyed the Father. Is this clear? It's important for us to get this. So he is, I believe, standing there in his human nature. It is this faith that pleased the Father and thus made Jesus the perfect sacrifice for our sin and becomes that gift of faith that he gives to his people so that we too might please the Father. Now this brings us to a key point. The moral strength of His divine nature served as a final means of preventing Him from sinning. Thus, He could not sin. However, Jesus chose in His human nature not to rely on His divine nature in this case to make it easier for Him to face the temptations. You see what I'm saying? In His human body, He chose not to rely on His divine nature instead to make it easier for Him. To eat would have made it easier. It would have given Him strength. He could have more easily defended Himself against the other temptations that were to come. He could have reasoned that out. We do that. We think that way. But He didn't. He chose, though, in His human nature, okay, I'm gonna resist this temptation. And He didn't rely on His human nature. How do I know this more? Look at Luke chapter 4 and verse 4. When Satan comes along in verse 3 and says, "Hey, turn that stone into bread." In verse 4 it says, "And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written." So what does he do first of all? What is he doing? He is quoting the Word of God. Whenever you're tempted, if you'll go to quoting the Word of God, I promise you, you're going to find it much harder to yield to that temptation and sin. Really. But that's what he does. He quotes the Word. "It is written," he says, "that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." What is he standing there in Satan's face and presenting to Satan? He is presenting his human nature, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. So he stands before Satan in his human nature and resists the temptation. So were the temptations real then? Were they real? I think they were. Now, many men smarter than I am have said things like this, that only he who resists temptation to the end fully feels the force of that temptation. Wayne Grudem, in his book on systematic theology, by the way, I've taken a lot of what we're talking about this morning from some things that he has said about on this very point, but he uses at this point this illustration. He uses the example of a weightlifter who wins a weightlifting contest by being the one in the end who lifts the weight and holds it above his head when every other competitor has let it drop. He's the one that holds the greatest weight above his head and wins the competition. Okay? Who felt the pressure of that weight most in that competition? The one who stood to the end. The others bail out at some point. They can't hold it up. They can't get that weight up. They can't maintain it. And they bail out. But the one who wins it holds it to the very end. So was the contest easier for him than it was the others? It's actually harder because he went further, right? So it is with Jesus. He faced the temptations that we face, but he held. He withstood. He triumphed. He is the champion, if you will, against those temptations. So you might argue that the temptations that Jesus faced were more real than the ones we face. Because we give in, right? Amen. We yield to temptation. Maybe not always, but I dare say most of the time. But Jesus never did. Therefore, he bore the weight of those temptations more than you and I have. I would say more than all of us combined have. So they were real. Just because he did not give in to them does not take away from the power and effect of those temptations. He just triumphed over them. Now let me close by attempting to summarize with some thoughts. We, I think, are left now to affirm that Jesus could not be tempted in his divine nature, but that he could be tempted in his human nature. The scriptures simply do not tell us just how these two natures united in one person in facing temptations. We're not given insight into that, most likely because we probably couldn't understand it with our finite minds. What we do know is that Hebrews is absolutely true when it tells us, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. It had to be that way for him to be the Savior. It was that way. We know this. We can believe this. And where that leaves us now is, and my appeal to you is this: believe on Jesus with your heart and trust indeed that he is your Savior.
Amen.
And follow him. Follow him in every way you can. Follow him. He is a Savior worthy of our worship. He is fully God, fully human. He is Christ Jesus. Let us exalt his name. We may not understand everything there is to know about him, but let me tell you, everything we learn from scriptures ought to leave us on shouting ground. Amen. When we consider what he has done, how he resisted those temptations. They were real, and he withstood them. They were the best that Satan could throw at him, and he came out triumphant over them, thus earning for his people their salvation. How awesome is that? And how we ought to exalt the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads. Our kind and most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for these words of Scripture that you have given us, for your Holy Spirit who has helped us to understand these great truths. We thank you for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Father God, how pleased you must have been with him and are with him and what he has accomplished for his people. We are so thankful for your grace, your mercy, your love, for eternal life. And it's my prayer that you quicken everyone in this room, O Lord, and that you bring them to the knowledge of the Savior. O Lord, I pray for this earnestly, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'll stand. What number shall we?